From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into the Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm. Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio here this morning. We'll look at our final thoughts from Ole Miss and Tulane. Look at a big week ahead in the SEC. A couple games of a lot of interest this week, and more Ole Miss obviously off. And the hype train begins for Ole Miss and Alabama in 12 days in Tuscaloosa. So plenty to talk about today. Pretty abysmal NFL day for myself yesterday, but we'll hit a little NFL day before really Tuesdays, as usual, is our day for that. So that and more coming on the Oxford Exxon Podcast, the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember to see the Chuff self-checkout line that is up and running. Not to wait anybody to handle that for you. Handle it yourself. Get back on the road as quick as possible there with the Oxford Exxon. Lunch specials, $5.69, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink, and with the SpeedPass Plus app, you can earn points and save money. Download that, use it, and save a little coin there with all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford. It's driving me crazy. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. And the rest is completely up to you. You can shop that quote around, or you can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do, and that's hop into a Clark Ford today, 662-257-1900. Guests, join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline, Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Probably happening over the weekend. Be a fun place this week if you're coming into town. If you're in town, go check out some college football. Even though the Rebels have the weekend off, there's a full slate of games. Go catch a game. Grab a burger, po' boy, great appetizers, full great beer selection, full bar, the whole deal there at Rafters, Music and Food on the Square, and also Rafters in New Albany.
So a lot of content up from post-game, including our show that wrapped, I don't know, somewhere around 2 a.m. On Sunday morning at that point. Walker had a notebook, we had observations, we had columns. Videos, 10 thoughts, stuff there at rebelgrove.com.
So, some recruiting, too.
reaction stuff from Zach.
Zach talked to Justin Martin, the quarterback from California, who was in on a visit. So that's at rebelgrove.com. People say sometimes, what's in it for me for a subscription? Well, you have to have a subscription to read it. There you go.
You do. I mean, 24 access to hour access to Neil over here. I mean, that's worth the cost of a subscription. I mean, you ask questions and he answered them. It's the damnest thing. Crazy there with the internet. Bringing us all together here on this,
yes,
on this Monday morning. Kumbaya, Coke commercials, that kind of thing. So, again, interesting week. We'll look ahead at some early lines for that coming up. I mean, we talked a ton on Saturday about Ole Miss and Tulane. It was a blowout from, frankly, the beginning. Ole Miss went down with a pretty perfect script when they got the ball. They go up. Tulane, I guess, cuts it to a couple touchdowns a couple times there, and then the onside kick kind of did them in. That was it, and the route was on from that point once Miles Battle secured it for the Rebels. They get a bye week that Kiffin talked about it after the game. You get a week off. It's good for us because we get to go ahead, transition to Alabama, and talk about the humongous game here in a couple weeks. But from Ole Miss, it's too early. They've got this gauntlet of an October ahead where an off week in the middle of that somewhere would have been nice, but it is what it is for Ole Miss as they're not really injured. They've got Jake Springer they can get back, but that's about it. I mean, they're as healthy as could be after three games. So not an opportune thing there for Ole Miss, but pretty opportune for us. A little bit of programming, too. There is no Monday availability today, so if you're used to the press conferences and things because of a bye week, that is not today. That will be tomorrow, and then they'll get some players on Wednesday or either vice versa. I forget which day Kiffin is.
But I need Kiffin's Wednesday.
Okay, so they reversed it.
I need to make that post, too, because otherwise people are going to be losing their minds at noon. And it's like
there is no availability.
There's nothing today.
Today is an off day from that standpoint, so just heads up on that, as you will not hear from Lane today. You will not hear from Lane until Wednesday. We were following live odds for whatever that mattered on Saturday night. They were moving after Ole Miss's game from a standpoint of the Heisman Trophy odds, which you can bet on. And as of one point yesterday, Matt Corral had become the betting favorite as far as he had the best money line odds of anyone in the country. He and Bryce Young locked up in a pretty tight odds race. And then it falls off pretty good from there. I looked this morning a second ago. Matt Corral plus 200 right now, which, frankly, is horrific odds if you were trying to bet, because that means if you bet 100, you only win 200 on Matt Corral to win the Heisman Trophy. Bryce Young at 225 right now. So you have a matchup of the top two contenders for the Heisman Trophy, at least as of week five in Tuscaloosa in a couple weeks. And then the fall off is all the way to plus 1,800 at that point. 1,800 has four different players, has Desmond Ridder, the quarterback of Cincinnati, Spencer Rattler, C.J. Stroud, and our friend that we will see in a few weeks, Malik Willis, the quarterback at Liberty. They're in that LS 1,800. So Corral and Young, huge favorites right now for the Heisman, and frankly, because one of them is going to get a big win in 2 weeks and then separate themselves even more moving forward, in my opinion. So anyway, just a little Heisman update there.
I'm laughing at Bobby's question in the thread. Look, I mean, it's super early.
It's so early that it's almost silly. A dumb conversation, frankly.
It's a silly conversation unless you put in the caveat that, look, this is super early. But he's got a really good shot. Got to win a bunch of games.
Well, here's why it's dumb, is that there are 9 games left in the regular season, plus whatever else happens
including
after
8
that.
Against SEC teams.
Yeah, they have not played an SEC game yet. I mean, at this point in Eli's schedule in 03, when he finished, what, 3rd for the Heisman, 4th, whatever, 3rd, is...
He was out of it at this point.
That's what I'm saying. They had already lost to Memphis and Texas Tech as of right now.
Which in
they
the
were
end,
like 1-2.
In the end, cost him the Heisman.
Yeah. It's why Neil and I were just having a conversation yesterday randomly while I was trying to avoid the Saints game. And it's what was so dumb about the early conversations, because I had talked myself into Matt Corral has a better chance to win the Heisman potentially with a great game but a loss to Alabama in 2 weeks. And then I kind of stopped myself and went, what are we doing? Like, why am I doing this mental gymnastics in my head right now in week 3 of a college football season? And my point being, if you beat Alabama – I feel like since you've won that one, any loss from that point is frankly seen as a negative,
yeah,
in a weird way. Versus if you had some huge game and Alabama just skins their teeth, gets by you, you kind of have a little more margin to be that Robert Griffin chance at a 10-2 kind of Heisman deal at that point. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but because
there's no way to know. Here's here's the thing that already obvious. Howell, who went into the season as a favorite, has had a stinker already, and his team doesn't appear good enough for him to win the Heisman. Rattler, I think he's going to put up numbers, but I think people now already see that he's not the best quarterback. So you got the running back at Iowa State, but they've already lost a game. He's a really good player. Don't think he's high profile enough to win the Heisman. So now you start thinking, okay, well, who are the high profile names? You don't really have one. It's not going to be JT Daniels. He had some preseason hype, but he's not having that kind of year. Mm-mm. They're winning because of defense. So you get Bryce Young, who so far has been super for Alabama.
They don't like giving freshman Heisman trophies. It's a definite negative.
Well, there are certainly members of the sports media in college football who are like the baseball media won't do it.
Yeah.
And then you have Corral. And Matt's star is absolutely soaring right now. He plays in a high-profile program right now because of Kiffin and all the stuff. I mean, Kiffin is just absolutely superb.
There's a perfect storm for a 10-2 Heisman this year.
Yes.
Lack of other available names, Kiffin, the exposure, the media attention, that let's just, for the hell of it, 10-2 is still a hell of a season. I mean, I do think the lack of late season games that have a lot of national importance potentially for Ole Miss could be a problem. But, I mean, look, I don't think Desmond Ridder can win the Heisman Trophy
no.
at Cincinnati. I just don't think he can play enough quality games to win it.
I think
the only way he would win it is if, like, Young and Corral both, everybody hang tight, got hurt.
Sure.
And it fell
off.
They
got hired. They got to give it to somebody.
And somebody has to win it. And he puts up these magnificent numbers for 12-0 Cincinnati.
And if, look, you've got a long way to go. If you told me Spencer Rattler got back in the conversation, I wouldn't be stunned.
Oh, no.
At all.
No, but he's got to play a lot better.
Yeah.
A lot better. Like, he's got to light. And their problem is that at Oklahoma, unlike Matt at Ole Miss, they just aren't that many games left on his schedule that anyone's going to pay attention to. And I said that they couldn't lose, because I think they could lose to a couple of teams. But who's paying attention to anything other than Oklahoma, Iowa State, and Oklahoma, Texas? And Texas has already lost a game, and Iowa State's already lost a game. Those aren't going to be these high-profile, oh-my-God games. And even in a Big 12 title game, who the hell are they going to play?
Mm-hmm.
An Iowa State team that they've already beaten? Who's watching that? On the flip side, you could see a scenario where Bryce Young or Matt Corral, one or the other, is in the SEC title game against big, bad Georgia defense, and
yeah,
it's the litmus test for your Heisman.
Yeah,
I could see that. It's hard. It's almost impossible for me to get back to Howell winning the Heisman. And this isn't about who the best pro quarterback is, because the best pro quarterback is Corral. But it's the way the vote thing works.
Yeah. There's a science to this in a dumb, weird way.
It's a really dumb science, yeah, but yes.
It's
kind of like COVID science.
It's political polling is what it is.
Yeah.
It's very similar to, but I need that guy in that state voting for me. But, yeah, he's an idiot and he's crazy, but we still got to figure out how to get his vote. So what does that look like?
The other thing that could hurt Young is there is Alabama fatigue.
And he's seen as a super team. He's just the captain of this super team. He's got all these dudes. I mean,
yeah, there's that. Part of a formula at some point. Yeah, their quarterback's really good.
It's potentially a negative for Spencer Rattler. Yeah, Lincoln Riley has quarterbacks that win the Heisman Trophy or, like, whatever. Okay, great. And he's not as good as Baker, and he's not as good as this dude, and he's not as good as Kyler. And, I mean,
Corral's a really good story.
Yeah.
And the media, as much as people think the media is out to get Ole Miss or whatever, and there are some media who are out to get Ole Miss, trust me. For the most part, if you secretly polled the media about, hey, next Saturday, what would you like to see? What they would love to see is for Ole Miss to win with Corral throwing for 400 yards. It gives you a new story to tell. Not a whole lot of stories to tell in Tuscaloosa.
No, look, there was some giddiness, and we'll get into games for the weekend. There was some giddiness that Florida played Alabama and made them less than invincible on Saturday.
Sure, of
course. Hey, whoa.
Sure, of course.
They're susceptible too.
Well, when it was 21-3,
we all went.
I was like, oh man, no one can touch them. The season has no drama. Like the Chiefs lose last night, you're like, they're fallible. I mean, that's nobody. If the outcome is predetermined, are you going to watch the show? I mean, that's what people on a TV show will go, spoiler alert. Because if you know how it ends, you're less apt to watch it. And so all of a sudden, Alabama looks mortal. And I wrote this in 10 Thoughts. And you and I talked about this yesterday. I've learned with Alabama to really pay attention to Cecil Hurt. Been at the Tuscaloosa News since, I don't know.
Like a long time.
The Kennedy administration.
Yeah.
Not really. Cecil's getting older, but he's still incredibly talented journalist who could have gone to a lot of places, but made covering Alabama a life's calling.
Sure, yeah.
And he's usually pretty careful about it, in my opinion. We might get him on in the next 2 weeks.
1982.
Long time.
Yeah.
So that would be
38 years.
Trying to think, who was president in 82?
Reagan.
That's right, since the Reagan administration. How about that?
First term.
That's right. So, he's seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought in his post, and I put it in 10 Thoughts so you can go read it. I thought his commentary from Gainesville was, he knows he's writing to an Alabama fan base. And I think he was trying to tell them, hey, FYI, everything that was there last year isn't there this year. And just because previous teams have answered the bell doesn't mean this one necessarily will. And they won, but I felt like that's what he was saying. And then he talked specifically about that defense isn't what past defenses were. That defense is mortal. He didn't write about Ole Miss because there's no reason to write about Ole Miss yet if you're in Tuscaloosa. They got time. But they've got challenges coming their way, and they know it. And if you watched the league over the weekend, and we'll talk about it, I'm sure, in a minute, there are some teams, plural, that I think can give them problems.
Their defense was completely and utterly gassed the last 10 minutes of that football game. Florida was dictating the line of scrimmage. Florida had the linebackers and the defensive backs completely on their heels. Alabama needed the clock to run out because Florida was, frankly, the better team in the last 10 minutes because of that. Emory Jones, I thought, played pretty well there in the latter stages of that game. He was fine late. Now, look, he's no Matt Corral, and that's what we're kind of talking about here is that if he's able to spread the field and do a couple different things, well, hell, you got a problem.
I thought he played well, but he has limitations.
He's limited. Yeah, sure. There's no doubt about that.
And the other kid didn't play at all. Richardson didn't play at all. And I mean, and Cecil wrote about this. He said, look, there's a possibility that Alabama won because of a hamstring. And when Cecil Hurt writes that, I always go, whoa.
Look, I don't know what I'm picking in 2 weeks. The line's going to be, in my opinion, somewhere between 7 and 10 points.
Oh, you think it'll be that low?
Yeah, I don't think it's into the teens. Because, frankly, I think Ole Miss is going to have a lot of betting momentum. And I think Vegas can't throw a huge line on that and just give away money because there's going to be a lot of buzz for people to take. Because there's a thought process nationally that Ole Miss is better because they have a number 13 ranking next to their name, all these different things.
Yeah.
And they look up and go, hey, what happened last year? Ole Miss scored 40-something last year? Well, yeah. Okay, well, sure. Let's start doing this. I think because the pandemic last year where it's still not as conditioned to give home field the credit maybe it even deserves right now.
Sure.
I think we're not back into that mindset the game's in Tuscaloosa.
Well, there's no doubt that Florida benefited from home crowd.
Oh, it was a great crowd.
Yeah.
So Ole Miss has to do – the crowd is going to be a thing, all that stuff, because, frankly, Corral hasn't played in one of those since 19. And then, two, the pressure, though, in some ways in this game – and now, again, let me – there's a fine line I'm threading here, but I believe it – is a little bit on Bryce Young. He's got to try he's the freshman – he has very little experience here. He's at Alabama, who's supposed to win every freaking game they play, always without any exception. And if Ole Miss could find a way early to kind of rattle him, even with Corral scoring, there's a certain keep up with Corral that Bryce Young might have to go through. And mentally, that's where a mistake happens. Hey, he scored. God, I gotta go. Like, and it's a weird chess match game for me. And I don't know who I'm picking. It's not really about that. But there's a formula here for Ole Miss that this could get very interesting and very difficult on Bryce Young on that day.
What's interesting from Young's standpoint is that he's having to really carry them early.
Yeah.
The two backs, McClellan was really good the other day for Alabama, but that's not Najee Harris back there.
No. Robinson got a little banged up, but he's not great.
And then the receivers, there's a fall off. I mean, of course there's a fall off. My God, they were incredible last year.
Yeah. Not every year you're going to get Waddle and Smith.
I mean, even when Waddle got hurt, it was like, no big deal, insert.
Yeah.
I don't see Devontae Smith out there right now. I don't see a Jalen Waddle out there right now. They don't have the dominant tight end they've had in the past. I mean, look, and I don't think they're quite as good up front as they've been, which makes sense because everybody went pro. At some point, LSU says hello, when you lose a ton of guys, it does catch you. Because I don't care how good your coach is, and Saban's the best that ever lived, you can't get adequate reps for everyone.
No.
And last year was a pandemic year. Who knows how that changed practices in Tuscaloosa? It changed them in Oxford. It changed them in Baton Rouge. It changed them everywhere. So I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that it changed them in Tuscaloosa. I don't know how polished some of the backups are. Are they talented? Oh, God, yeah, of course. That's one of the you know me, I'm not exactly the super company man when it comes to rivals, but I'll push back on the recruiting ranking thing. When people go, well, Alabama's always finishes first. Well, yeah, you look at their talent. Look at people go to the NFL. Look how they win. Of course they finish first.
Sure.
It might be because they're the best recruiting team.
Sure.
But I don't know how ready they are. And it's just kind of interesting. I don't know which what I'm picking. I'll say this, and it is going to piss off some Ole Miss people. It's a free shot for Ole Miss. It's an absolute free shot for Ole Miss.
Oh, I don't think that's debatable, sure.
And so, you know, it's not a free shot for Alabama. When you go into the season and your one goal is to win the national title, I mean, I'll be honest. They got to play Auburn. Probably, if they win, they got to play Georgia. Looking at their schedule, they got to go to College Station. They got to go to Auburn. They got some tough games on their schedule. What I've seen from them, it's not a sure thing. And they got to play Georgia if they win, like I said. So I'm sure they look at it and look at it from before the season. They looked at the Ole Miss game and went W. And now they look at it and go, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I mean, it's going to get a ton of hype. It's a game that you know Kiffin thinks about all the time. The one thing I'll say is that people go, you know, Ole Miss will have to have a good plan. I'd be willing to bet any amount of money on the face of the earth that Ole Miss will have a great plan for Alabama.
Yeah.
Now, can you execute it and get it done?
Yeah, yeah. But the plan won't be the problem either way.
No.
Yeah.
They'll be super prepared, and they're going to come into it pretty healthy, pretty fresh. In an ideal world, I think your open date's not for another 3 weeks, but it is what it is. At some point, that grind's going to catch them, but they're going to be ready to go in Tuscaloosa. And Corral's good enough and can do the things that can hurt you. And I wrote about this a little bit in 10 Thoughts. I kept waiting for someone to go, okay, I'm tired of this patience thing. I'm not going to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tulane defensive coordinator, to his credit, said, this isn't working. Let's try something new. And then Ole Miss immediately punished them with the deep ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if that got put on film. And so if you're Pete Golding and the coaches at Alabama, you look at this and go, how do we attack this guy? And frankly, there's no easy answer. There's a lot to prepare for there.
Did you in a second? First, to about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understands your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down pretty close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Our MPW Digital postgame show is still available for you to see if you want a reaction and some of the calls that were interesting. After that game, it was brought to you by Walk-Ons. Walk-Ons Sports Bistro puts everything they've got into bringing you game day with the taste of Louisiana. Dig into their mouth-watering Louisiana cuisine like po' boys, gumbo, and voodoo shrimp, plus fan favorites like juicy burgers and fresh salad. Quality fresh ingredients you can't help but crave. Coming soon in November, Walk-On Sports Bistro, more than a restaurant, 1737B University Avenue in Oxford. Also brought to you by Muddy Water Camo. Go to muddywateroutdoors.com and enter the promo code Rebel Grove. Get a 35% discount on any products from the site, free shipping on $100 or more. They've got lots of new products, and they also have the new Muddy Water Lady Camo apparel that's up again at muddywateroutdoors.com. Enter the promo code Rebel Grove. Saw our friend Cole to show off his new socks from Dead Soxie on social media over the weekend. If you want those, and you do, go to deadsoxie.com, deadsoxy.com. Check out their new college collection. It has the clipboard socks, the Archie Manning socks, the LFG socks. All of those you can get. You can get them 25% off if you enter the promo code Rebel Grove at checkout. SEC time is coming. I guess Arkansas comes here October the 9th. LSU comes here October the 23rd. There's still A lot of games left on the schedule in Oxford, and you can get tailgating packages for single games or for what's available. Single game packages are great for those just wanting to tailgate for a game or two. They start at $225 per game for the non-league, $325 per game for SEC games. Get in touch with 7 South Tailgating. They'll make sure that you are completely set up to enjoy your tailgating Saturday. 662-321-1682 or 7southtailgating.com. And when you're in the Grove or getting ready for the Alabama game, wherever you may be, you want to make sure that you got Game Changer ready for you. Game Changer wants to help you prepare. They're the only two-patch system available in the market to stop hangovers before they start. The warm-up patch is used before or while you drink, and the overtime patch is used after you've been drinking to recover while you sleep. The all-natural ingredients will keep you in the game, ready for the next play. Just go to GameChangerPatch.com, enter the promo code REBELGROVE20 at checkout for 20% off your purchase.
Podcast is brought to you by Visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com. Go to the events page, see everything going on this week and every week when, as Neil said, Ole Miss returns home to play Arkansas in a couple weeks. Bus tours 3 and 4 o'clock on that Friday. You can call, you can make reservations. Remember, every adult ticket gives you $100 off a pair of blue Delta jeans. Also, tunes around town that night, 5 to 7 for that. Several different locations to enjoy some local music while you get some takeout, enjoy dessert, or much more. So we have the two big games this weekend that at least have our interest from a stacking the West, figuring out kind of first semblance of a pecking order. Is it a bunch of duds otherwise, or do we have some decent stuff beyond that?
It's kind of duddy. Other than that, yeah, let's see. It's got Georgia at Vanderbilt.
So that line will be,
I hadn't even looked.
Something.
I would guess it's in the 30s.
Yeah, I'm pulling them up.
Missouri's at Boston College. Boston College undefeated so far.
They are.
LSU's at Mississippi State. Texas A&M is playing Arkansas at Jerry World. Georgia State's at Auburn. Tennessee is at Florida. Kentucky is at South Carolina. And Southern Miss is at Alabama.
So, meh.
Yeah, pretty meh.
That's
there was a day when Tennessee-Florida was the game. It is no longer the game.
Tennessee-Florida. I mean, seriously, that was appointment viewing for a decade.
Yeah, and I would think Florida is a 20-point favorite.
Yeah, we'll go through. I got it up here. First little look here from a line standpoint. The Liberty Flames are at the Syracuse Orange this weekend. Game for Hugh. Maybe one of his.
So exciting.
Two or three toughest in the year.
So exciting.
Welcome to the mountain.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Fresno State gets kind of an off week. They play a UNLV team that is god awful after Fresno beat UCLA late on Saturday night.
Did Fresno jump into the polls?
I don't know. I did not look at the bottom half of the top 25. We'll look at top 25 and we know the lines. Missouri, Boston College, as you've said, that is it, Chestnut Hill. And Missouri is a 2.5-point favorite over the Eagles.
Wow. That's weekend. SEC respect right there. Goodness gracious.
Missouri, 2.5 on the road at BC.
Mm.
Georgia and Vanderbilt.
Let me guess. 34.5.
It opened at 31.5, but it has jumped to 35.
Oh.
So, yes, it has gone from 31.5 to 35. Georgia and Vanderbilt, 11 a.m. on ESPN on Saturday. LSU coming off a pretty impressive, I mean, not like, hey, they're about to win the title, but they look pretty good against Central Michigan
good.
Over the weekend.
All
they
right,
had it figured out a little
let
bit.
Let me guess. LSU at Mississippi State, I'm going to guess that LSU is a 6.5-point favorite.
You don't have to give that many. LSU opened at 3.5. It's down to 3.
No
LSU
way, really?
Minus 3 at Mississippi State. Yes.
Wow.
And I would say, do you want to lock? But it's coming down. It's
now,
not
I'm
going
wait.
Back up.
I'm
going to
wait.
Let it ride. Let it watch it. See what happens.
Look, I like to make fun of LSU. And if I'm totally honest, I enjoy them losing more than I probably enjoy anyone else losing.
Oh, nationally?
Maybe nationally.
Really?
Yeah.
You enjoy LSU losing more than like A&M or Texas.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked their team in 19 with Burrow and them because I kind of catch myself liking Burrow. But there's a lot of stuff there that just really is distasteful to me, and I have to fight that. But they looked really good the other night against Central Michigan. They looked like they were figuring some things out. And I know Central Michigan sucks, but they popped them in the mouth hard. At Mississippi State, and I watched it. I was flipping around. There were three games on, and I was watching all three. State is decidedly mediocre. That's about as far as you can take them. Their quarterback play is mediocre. Their running game is not even mediocre.
And they don't go down the field.
And defensively, they're just okay. They're good. They're fine.
Yeah.
They're Chili's.
They're slightly above average.
They're right Chili's.
They're not Outback.
No. They're a steak at Chili's. You're going to get a sirloin, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be food. It's going to be sustenance. It's as far as you can go with it. And I don't know that that can beat LSU.
No Fridays?
No. Okay. You know, every once in a while, at a place like that, you'll have a meal, and you're like, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I'd be down.
More than I expected. Bobby Gray, thanks for the super chat. This is College Game Day in Tuscaloosa on the 2nd.
We're going to spend a lot of time on College Game Day this week. It's just not going to be today. But yeah. At some point this week, we have thoughts. We will get to them.
I haven't looked at the whole schedule.
Next week's
schedule.
Georgia, Arkansas.
Arkansas would have to beat A&M.
Wisconsin plays like somebody else sort of in that top 25 range. It's like Michigan or somebody. I forget who.
But they're doing Wisconsin this weekend.
Oh, they are?
Because game day's at Soldier Field in Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, it's the schedule next week is fine. But there's a couple Ole Miss we need to navigate to be the pick. But my hunch is that it will be in Tuscaloosa. But, again, we'll talk about what that means or doesn't mean as the time. We have plenty of time this week without a game, so there's another day for that. But
so 3.5 is the line right now?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Boy, I'd be laying those 3.5.
You would?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm real quick. Let me just scroll through this. Arkansas, Georgia, Oklahoma, Kansas State, Oregon, Stanford, Indiana, Penn State, State A&M, Clemson, Boston College, Ohio State, Rutgers, Florida, Kentucky, Iowa State, Kansas.
Well, now, Ohio State Rutgers might be one they could do because Rutgers is unbeaten right now.
And they could go to the new place and let it be Rutgers.
Well, they're a little Tuscaloosa'd out, and they figure at the end of the year there's a decent chance they're there for Alabama-Auburn.
Although that feels forced.
It does.
Florida-Kentucky. The problem with that is Ohio State is lost. You know what I mean? Like, some of the problem with Ohio State-Rutgers is actually Ohio State right now.
Yeah, sure.
Michigan, Wisconsin is what I was saying, but if they're already there this week, that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only ranked games next week.
So I'd say the odds are yes, but I don't know.
They would have to get cute. If you're just picking the best game with stories.
Yeah.
And granted, it's not really about Rutgers. It's that sometimes they go, hey, we've never been there, so what the hell?
That's why they go to like North Dakota State or something. It's just to do something unique. They've done Tuscaloosa so much.
Some of the problem with Rutgers is they have sucked.
Yeah.
And they're still not good. Like, it's not like, oh, well, look at this top 15 team that suddenly – no, they still are just very average. So, 3 on that one. Texas Tech getting 9.5 in Austin this weekend.
Okay.
Notre Dame, Wisconsin is this weekend. Wisconsin minus 5.5 to Notre Dame. Notre Dame getting 5.5 in Chicago.
Yeah.
Let's see. Scrolling through. A lot of dud games nationally. I mean, some real dud games nationally. Texas A&M at Arkansas.
Let me guess.
Yep.
It's in Dallas. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess A&M is favored by 8.5.
It opened at 7.5. It is currently at 5.5.
The money coming in on Arkansas early. Yep.
Yep. A&M minus 7.5 open now at 5.5 with the Hogs. You can get it at 5.5 or 6, depending on your favorite sports book.
Depending on how healthy Arkansas's offensive line is, I think they have a real shot.
I don't understand this line because Florida State has been god-awful. Wake Forest just hammered them on Saturday.
I know.
Louisville only a 2.5-point favorite in Tallahassee this weekend.
I wonder if there's some concern that Cunningham's not healthy.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can come up with because Louisville played pretty well against UCF last week.
Cunningham was limping around by the end. You talk about a quarterback getting hit too much.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Clemson, NC State. Clemson is a 9.5-point favorite at NC State. If that's not an indictment a little bit on the Tigers, I don't know what is.
They can't score.
That is only 9.5.
They can't score.
Yeah, they're bad offensively. DJ's no Trevor Lawrence.
No.
Did you see this? Wyoming UConn is the game that made me think of this, where Bill Connolly, who does the SP Plus, he put up two tweets yesterday. One was if preseason expectations had zero to do with anything. It was strictly what has happened on the field to this point through his computers.
Yeah.
And now the problem with that, everybody goes, well, that's how you should do it. The problem with that is that you do need a certain level of indicator predictor on how something with what a team has been.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was no whatever, Michigan, Georgia, and Ole Miss would be 1-2-3.
Really?
Yeah. Michigan, Georgia, Ole Miss would be 1-2-3. On the other side, UConn, and I'll go try to find this. UConn this year would be the worst team in college football history in his SP Plus with no preseason predictors.
Well, they'll get an opportunity to prove that in Nashville later in the season. Because if Vandy beats them by 35, you'll be like, well, son of a bitch. There it
they
is.
They suck.
There it is.
They're really bad. Yeah, I'll go try to find it. It was interesting. It was looking at, hey, these are the worst teams, and UConn was all the way down there at the bottom.
Feels like big opportunity for Michigan right now. Like the league could be opening up for them.
Yeah, so here we go. The five worst SP Plus percentile ratings ever. 1912 Samford, 1937 Wofford,
mm-hmm.
1925 Erskine.
Okay.
1926 Erskine, 2021 UConn.
Wow.
And that's in descending order. So, yes, number one. They're and again, I don't know what good is. I don't know where it goes. But their percentage is 0.04. Like, I think that's – they barely exist. Like, they barely even have a football team. So, yeah. I don't know. All right. Where was I?
You'd left off.
Yeah.
We had not gotten to the Georgia State, Auburn.
Yeah, I got you. Iowa State only giving 6.5 in Waco on Saturday.
Baylor's off to a good start.
Maybe an interesting game there. Baylor getting 6.5.
More of what you see from what happens at LSU. Dave Aranda's a good coach.
Mm-hmm. Memphis giving 3.5 to UTSA on Saturday back at Liberty Bowl. Iowa giving 22.5 to Colorado State on the weekend.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
24-3 feels perfectly capable there, though.
Yeah. So does 31-3.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem with that line.
Right.
Illinois getting 11 from Purdue on Saturday.
Oof.
Rutgers and Michigan. Michigan
getting. That's a Big Ten game that only a Big Ten fan could love.
Impossible to love that one in West Lafayette. Rutgers getting 19 from Michigan on Saturday.
Oh. Okay.
And that's why they're not going to Rutgers is that Michigan's going to win.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Let's see. God help the Kansas Jayhawks. Duke is giving them 15.5.
Duke with a big win over Northwestern Saturday.
Northwestern's bad.
Yeah.
They've run into a year where it's not working out.
Fitzgerald's for Pat. I had chances to leave.
Yeah. Bears job, huh? Okay. I can keep my house. Auburn and Georgia State. 27 for the.
I was gonna guess around 30.
Yeah, 27 for the Tigers against Georgia State there.
A little bit of a letdown game for Auburn probably, but I mean not to lose, but in terms of covering a line, because where do they go? They go to LSU next week, is that right? Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah.
UCLA is coming off their loss to Fresno. They are at the farm on Saturday in Palo Alto, giving 4 to the Stanford Cardinal. UCLA -4 against Stanford.
It's actually entertaining.
It's
game.
A 5 o'clock kick.
UCLA,
you don't get a lot of Pac-12
UCLA
5
has to
kicks.
Be pissed off.
They played really badly. They played really badly. Tennessee and Florida.
I'm going to guess Florida's a 19-point favorite.
It opened at 16.5. It has currently gone to 20.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of money on Florida, even at 16.5, and Vegas trying to get a little money put back on Tennessee here.
Well, it sounds corny to say this, but Florida got a standing ovation walking off the field and felt pretty good about themselves. And I think they now know, hey, we can compete.
Sure.
So I expect they'll pop Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Kentucky at South Carolina on Saturday.
Kentucky has not played well. Carolina's bad. I would guess Kentucky is a 6.5-point favorite.
Opened at 4.5, now at 5.
Okay.
Kentucky minus 5 at South Carolina.
That feels like free money. Because so, if I'm Stoops,
and Carolina can't throw.
Yeah, if I'm Stoops, I put up that Chattanooga film, and after I get through throwing stuff in the room for a while, I've got their attention. We're going to have a good week of practice in Lexington.
Yeah. Probably going to win going away a little bit there. Let's see. Michigan State giving 4.5 to Nebraska for you degenerates out there.
Is that it?
Yeah, 4.5.
Jeez.
Well, we found the biggest line of the season, I think, in an SEC game. It is Will Hall and his Golden Eagles in Tuscaloosa this weekend.
All right, let me guess.
Yeah, I gave you a huge hint there. So
41.
Need to go up.
No shit. 45?
Yeah, 45. Yeah.
That's just too many points.
Alabama minus 45 against Southern Miss on Saturday.
Southern Miss is bad.
Yeah, really bad.
Yeah.
Snoop Connor made a good decision. They're 45. Yeah, I don't. But how do you lay 45 points when Bama is going to be looking ahead a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to get his players. Yeah, he's having a weird week because he did this last week, and everybody says it's the best week of practice they ever had.
The Mercer thing.
Yeah, supposedly their week of practice against Florida was the best that they've had in ages. It's conceivable that they're just not what people think they are. And before anybody thinks I'm talking bad about Alabama, I consistently rank them number one, will rank them number one until someone beats them, and consistently say that
it's all relative.
The crown is on their head until someone takes it off.
It's all relative.
If they win every game 7-6, I will vote for them number one because they are the king until someone takes the crown.
Oklahoma minus 16 at home against West Virginia. The Mountaineers coming off the win over Virginia Tech last week. So Oklahoma minus 16 there.
West Virginia is one of those teams that the road home split feels so big for them.
Yeah.
They're good at home. Yeah. And on the road, they're just kind of whatever.
North Carolina is in Atlanta. They are giving an 11.5 to Georgia Tech this weekend.
It's a dud game.
That's a very dud game. You have to feel like Carolina's going to cover that because Longo scores against bad teams.
ACC's boring.
They suck. Yeah.
There's it's just nothing. Boring.
I told you, just fade the whole conference. That's the
agreed.
That's the goal right now with the ACC. A bit of a weird year for Tom Allen. I thought they played pretty well against Cincinnati. Couldn't get it done.
The kickoff return killed them.
Yeah, they're at Western Kentucky on Saturday night, giving 9.5 to the Hilltoppers.
They had Cincy on the ropes, and that kickoff return game changer.
Tulane got home yesterday. The Green Wave gets their first home game this week against Bill Clark and UAB. And Tulane is a 3.5-point favorite over UAB at home this week. I assume Michael Pratt is okay if that's the case.
He looked to be. They did the smart thing, got him off the field. That game was over.
That last play when the shoulder went okay.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Live for another day.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that they win. I can now freely admit that the rest of this year I will cheer for the Green Wave.
Yeah, sure. Of course. Talk about a dud game. Cal and Washington this weekend is your 8:30 kick on the West Coast.
Cal and Washington?
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks.
Dud.
I'll be in a Jackson hotel room with Carson. So.
Speaking of bad Power 5 teams, the Arizona Wildcats are in Eugene to play the Oregon Ducks this weekend. Not going to go well for Arizona. Mm. That line should be bigger. It's only 27. That's not enough.
Arizona's off to an 0-3 start. Is that right?
I think so. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oregon minus 27 feels real good right there. Oregon State, USC, SC giving 13 to the Beavers, whatever. I couldn't tell you a thing about Oregon State football. Like, that might be the one team in the country where they said, hey, we're going to ask you one question about this current season. I don't know. I got nothing.
Literally, if someone said, who's their coach? I don't know. Name a player. I can't.
Is that the most nondescript team in the country right now? I mean, seriously.
They're in the conversation. I mean, I couldn't, if you said, who is Dino Babers still at Syracuse?
Jonathan Smith has been the head coach at Oregon State since 2017.
Well, see, you might actually get it. Someone goes, name their coach. You'd be like,
is that dude
Paul
still there?
Jones, John Smith. Hi, Smith. I don't know.
It's where you're on Jeopardy, where you just say the last name and hope they're okay with it.
You Who go, is Smith? Smith.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I did know that Purdue beat them to open the year. I did know that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I think I knew
that. I could have told you nothing about Oregon
State.
They
lost to Purdue, beat Hawaii, and beat Idaho. That's it. That's all I got. And they play SC now this weekend. Sure. Sounds fantastic. That's
it's not John L. Smith, right?
Yeah, it is not. No, it's Jonathan Smith.
Jonathan Smith.
Yeah. So.
Where that guy said, do not call me John. Okay?
What's your middle initial? Nope, middle initial.
Not going there.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Nick's Tan and Associates. Nick's Tan, Oxford.com, 662-281-1200. They can take care of you on the buy side or the sell side of real estate here locally in Oxford. O'Keefe Graham, Clay DeWeese, and his team, they're a team of associates, will get it done for you. And you can go to the website. They sponsor my 321 content item. You can also click the link in my signature as well to see gallery view, list view, talk with an agent, and whatever needs to happen to get a deal done. Again, either side, I've used them multiple times. Give them a chance to 662-281-1200.
ACS is owned by Clay McNutt in Baldwin, Mississippi. Established in 2013, Automation Control Systems, LLC, is a complete electrical control system solution provider and a Rockwell Automation recognized system integrator. ACS has a full-time dedicated emergency service and troubleshooting staff and a UL508A panel shop. ACS can custom tailor software packages, custom design electrical controls panel solutions, and much more. Go to acsllcms.com. or call them at 662-601-4381. Pinpoint Commercial Real Estate is based out of Jackson, Mississippi, services the entire state in all commercial asset classes such as retail, office, industrial, and land. Sam and BB are Ole Miss graduates. They pride themselves on hard work and maximizing value for their commercial clients. This week's property spotlight is on the Medical Parkway in Flowood, Mississippi. The Medical Parkway consists of 94 acres situated around the newly opened Sheraton Hotel and Conference Center and the newly renovated Refuge Golf Course. The acreage is ideally positioned between the International Airport and Flowood Medical District with Jackson Heart and Capital Ortho on site. If you'd like to learn more about this property, get in touch with BB and Sam at 601-586-3220 to learn more about the Medical Parkway. Blue Delta Jeans makes the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they are uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit, hand-tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi, one size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. Go to their site, click on the virtual tailor, and you can be measured and design your newest jeans in just a couple minutes. And then make it even better, enter the promo code REBELGROVE, all lowercase, one word, at checkout. Get 10% off your entire order at BlueDeltaJeans.com. We're also brought to you by Lamons Fine Jewelry. Lamons is at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford, serving the Oxford area for more than 73 years. From engagement rings to wedding rings to collectibles and more, Lamons is the gold standard in fine jewelry. Visit them at lamonsfinejewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. And we're brought to you by Comer Heating and Air and Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, call Comer at 662-801-1777. And if you live in Hernando, Memphis, or the surrounding area, call them at 662-429-4429.
Johnston Hill Creamery, they're just off Molly Bar in Oxford. If you need a little extra something for your catering and tailgate this season, Ole Miss back home here soon and home for pretty good bit this fall. Charcuterie trays with meats, cheeses, and many other accompaniments as well. Artisanal cheese trays. They've got lots of desserts, including cherry buttermilk hand pies, cannolis, blackberry cheesecake bars, and much more. The hot sauce is good and plenty more. So, again, they deliver to you in the Grove. You don't have to pick it up. They'll bring it right to wherever you are for catering things. Just give them 24 hours notice. They'll take care of you. That's 662-419-9201. Or just stop in, see all the different options. For an event or just maybe taking home for a night, make dinner easy charcuterie trays, and much more. Again, JohnstonHillCreamery.com to see the current menus and more. And then our late game is Colorado and Arizona State on Saturday. So that closes that the book on that. Fine.
Sure.
The game that offense forgot.
Yeah. I anticipate.
And not in a good way.
I anticipate being asleep by then.
There's very little that... What time did you go to sleep? 3:15-ish on Sunday?
You left here about 2:10.
Yep.
I worked until about 2:30. And then I think I probably went to sleep around 3. Maybe a little after 3. And I got up at about 8. Worked until 10. Studied world history till 11. And then worked till about 3. And then last night it hit me. I crashed last night pretty early.
Late afternoon, I was like, okay, that's it. Because I was a little worried because I was really hopped up on coffee. I actually felt too good when I got home and went, no, I have to sleep because I know me. I'm not going to sleep late no matter what.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I was up before 7. So, I mean, it was a bit of a...
I made myself get up because I knew I had 10 thoughts waiting on me. And
you would have stayed there.
I could have slept.
Oh, would you really?
Oh, I could have slept 2 more hours.
Yeah, see, I had to make myself not get up at like 6:15. Finally got up at like 6:45, somewhere in there, and started moving around.
I'm looking forward to a couple of early games.
There was a wreck on 7 when I left, and I was a little worried that it was going to be one of those backed up roadblock kind of deals where just everybody was all hung up, but they had a lane kind of cleared and was like, y'all go. So it went easier than I thought when I was headed through there. We mentioned the top 25 is out. Ole Miss at 13. For whatever reason that matters, I don't know that it does really at all, but sure.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I mean,
not yet anyway. Not that it ever really matters, but it doesn't matter yet.
It doesn't.
I mean,
Alabama retains number 1. They got 59 of 62 first place votes.
Sure.
The other 3 went to the Georgia Bulldogs.
Okay.
Your top 10, Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, Oklahoma, Iowa, Penn State, A&M, Cincinnati, Clemson, Ohio State.
I have problems with the last two.
Clemson, Ohio State.
I mean, if those teams weren't preseason super hype. Now, Clemson did lose. The only game they lost was to Georgia. I give them that. But they haven't played well at all. And Ohio State lost to Oregon.
Yeah.
But they haven't played great either. Like, well, for example, I think Ole Miss would beat both Clemson and Ohio State right now. I do.
It's the poll dynamics on that because they won't drop you crazy far no matter what, especially when you lose to a good team.
Right.
No matter what you look like. I mean, right. You can beat 52-0 and still not fall very far. And then if you win, even if you look like hell doing it, they don't drop you most of the time.
Right.
You just stay.
Yeah.
Because like A&M has done very little to stay where they are on this season to this point.
Oh, no doubt.
Now they can get a better win on Saturday and we'll start talking about it. But as of right now, what have you done other than pissed around with Colorado? That's it. I know your quarterback's hurt. I get it. But, you know, Penn State, credit to them. They've beaten Auburn. They beat Wisconsin, number 6. No issues. I'm fine with that. I have no real issue there.
People in the thread are talking about Cincy. What it is they've won.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Georgia in that bowl game. Which sort of...
Did they win that game?
Yeah, they won the game, didn't they?
Okay.
Which, fairly or not, allowed the hype machine to keep rolling. They've got a really good quarterback. People like Fickle, whether they should or shouldn't. People are asking, what's the hype come from? There. Mm-hmm. And everybody likes Cinderella.
And they get a lot of benefit of the doubt. Hey, well, they went and beat a Big Ten team.
Yeah. But they did.
They did. That Iowa crushed.
Yes.
2 weeks before that.
Yes.
But they're fine. Whatever.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't have a problem.
The problem I have.
The computers aren't going to love them, so it's not going to matter.
That's what I was going to say. That's my problem with it, is that it's just creating this weird chaos later, because from a poll dynamic standpoint.
Oh, since he lost the game.
That's what I thought. But
yeah, I don't know.
They ended up.
Shows you how important bowl games are.
They may end up like 3rd or 4th in the country. In the AP top 25, still with no shot in hell of making the playoff.
Yeah.
Because they're just not.
Well, the computers aren't going to like them.
Yeah. So that's going to drop them way down. Florida was not punished at all. They were 11th. They remain 11th.
That's fair.
Notre Dame, 12-12, stayed where they are. Ole Miss jumps to 13 from 17.
Yeah.
And a pretty good gap there. Ole Miss at 717, Notre Dame at 874, and then Iowa State 664 behind Ole Miss. So they're real settled into something that's not overly close there from a point standpoint.
So Iowa State's 14.
They are. BYU at 15 after beating Arizona State. They have wins over Utah and Arizona State to this
BYU
point.
BYU has passed the eye test so far this season.
They have. They're kind of fun. Yeah, they've been good.
They are.
Arkansas at 16, getting a lot of mileage out of that Texas win right now.
Sure. Well, and not just that, but it's the way that they – They did to Georgia Southern what a good team would do to Georgia Southern.
Yeah, I have no problem with Arkansas being ranked there. It's, if anything, it's probably a credit that we're not doing a ton of week one overreactions because they look like shit against Rice.
Right.
And then they've kind of figured it out from that point. Coastal 17, because Texas hammered Rice on Saturday.
Yeah.
Hammered. It was like 44-0 at halftime.
It was 59-0, I think.
Coastal 17, whatever.
I have a problem with Coastal.
It's cute.
Yeah, whatever.
Wisconsin at 18, Michigan at 19. Again, they play next week after Wisconsin plays Notre Dame this week. So, big 2 weeks for the Badgers right here.
Yeah.
Michigan State at 20.
Okay.
Carolina at 21, but that's a pretty precipitous fall from starting the year at like 8 or something like that when they lost to Virginia Tech. Fresno into the poll at 22.
Okay.
Auburn went from 22 to 23.
Yeah, and I actually bumped Auburn up, I think, in mine a little bit. I think I know what I saw in Penn State. I'm not completely sure that I agree with the game plan that Auburn went with, but Auburn's a little better than people are giving them credit for.
UCLA at 24, falling from 13 after losing to Fresno, and Kansas State at 25 after not being in the poll last week.
Good for them.
They're in right there. And then your next three out, just for the sheer hell of it, is TCU, Liberty, and Virginia Tech. Okay.
Liberty.
LSU 35, Kentucky 37. That's it for the SEC. Louisville actually got a vote.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Looking at Ole Miss, where people had them, pulling it up. Four is what I want. Where is week four? They have not put it into line order yet, so
okay.
I don't know. I'm sure I could click on individual ones, but I'm not doing that. So it is what it is. Yeah, they've got all the different people there, but they do not have. Yeah, they admit that the Associated Press published data that was missing information, and we're working to fill the gaps.
Yeah,
I don't know what that means or doesn't mean. So, okay.
It's not easy to do a ranking. People think it is. It actually is more difficult than you think. How do you judge a 3-0 team versus a 2-1 team? And a lot of it becomes, especially this early in the season when you don't have a lot of data.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of guessing. What would happen if this team played this team on the neutral field?
You go, well. Yeah.
A lot of it is eye test. I mean, Ole Miss hadn't beaten anybody necessarily, but it's just the way that they look. Ole Miss is passing the eye test with flying colors right now.
Ole Miss is actually one of the problems with them not having all this in place. They do not have any tabulation on where anyone picked Ole Miss. Everybody else in the country appeared to be correct.
Yeah.
And have all the stuff, but Ole Miss has no thing out next to it on how they got to 13. So, not a conspiracy. There's some computer glitch somewhere. People chill out.
There's
AP does not have a problem with whatever happened there.
Something happened in their formula that.
Yeah, because like Notre Dame here, their highest is 8 from 3 voters, and then 14 voters actually have Notre Dame not ranked at all.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We'll look at that tomorrow because I obviously need a full deal to do that.
Had some people asking for us to comment on the
officiating.
The officiating in Memphis. It was deplorable. You can't look that play. I was watching it live, and when he picked up the ball, I thought, "What are you doing?" Because I saw the official, the back judge, make a motion, and the kid from Mississippi State downed the ball. His knee was on the ground, then he touched the ball. Now, I know technically whatever, but then that should have been reviewed. And then on the review, you would have seen that they had illegal people on the field. The play should not have – it should have gone back.
Look, complete and utter catastrophe. It was horrific officiating. They should be suspended or whatever you do to officiate.
It's the same crew that screws it up every year.
But, yet here they are, and they keep getting games. Now, they got State Memphis, but still.
Yeah.
My only issue, and this is not even being contrarian, because no, it should have been called. Because look, you knew the intent of the State player. I mean, Come on, we always give the benefit of the doubt there. Okay, cool. And Let's move on.
People are like, well, the official didn't finish, but he started.
If you were going to rule, my only little bit of contrarian at all is that if you're going to rule that the State player didn't possess the ball, the back judge doing whatever he was doing and the two number fours did not impact the play in any way, in my opinion. I don't think the State dude even saw the judge. I don't think anybody even saw the back judge
do anything.
I think
the Memphis kids did see it. I mean, I'm sorry, the Mississippi State kids.
I didn't think those first two at least saw anything.
Guys are looking at it. You see an official do this.
And 2 seconds to stop is 2 seconds to stop.
You watch the body language on those guys. Yeah. They quit running.
Yeah. Now, the two number fours on the field, the penalty should be called, but that did not change anything.
It didn't.
Nobody's going, hey, number four.
But you can't do it.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah, yeah. Not disagreeing. Agreeing at all.
The play should absolutely have been negated.
Yes.
And it was a huge play, and it probably cost Mississippi State the game.
Oh, it did. It cost them the game.
That being said, don't schedule them, number one. Stop scheduling Memphis. There's no reason to play Memphis. You're not getting anything out of it. You're propping up a high school program. There's no reason for an SEC team to schedule Memphis. Yeah, you can schedule Tulane, sure, because you get your fans get to go to New Orleans for a weekend. There's games to go play that are, you know, and Tulane's potentially dangerous. There's no reason to play Memphis. You get nothing out of it at all. And when you schedule Memphis where you have to go to Memphis, you're asking for it. You are stepping into a snake pit, hoping if you get bit, it's a non-venomous snake.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dumb strategy. Don't play them. Don't schedule them. I don't care if their little basketball program will come play you. Don't schedule them. Basketball doesn't move the needle enough to make up for that.
Well, no, and then when Ole Miss made that deal with them, they screwed around with Ole Miss on the basketball side.
Yes.
And wouldn't schedule it.
But even if they would come to Oxford and play in the pavilion every December from now until infinity.
It's not worth a football.
You don't get enough out of it. Nobody cares about college basketball in December. And this is coming from someone who loves basketball. Nobody watches it. It doesn't move the needle. Nobody gives a damn. Not when the NFL's still going. Not when college football's still going. You don't get anything out of it. And the only time you're going to play Memphis at Ole Miss or at Mississippi State is in November or December. Well, nobody's focusing on that. So you get nothing out of it. There's a decent chance the weather will be crappy. But you got to go play them in football? You got to go bail them out in a football? Why? For what purpose? I'd never schedule them.
Plenty of other teams to play.
I mean, we could just pull up a list of schools, and I could go, yeah, that'd be better, that'd be better, that'd be better.
You'd rather play Western Kentucky or Middle Tennessee.
Oh, you'd be better off scheduling a home-and-home with Indiana.
Yeah.
Purdue, Illinois. I mean, Kansas, Baylor. I mean, the list just goes on and on. But if you're going to play a non-league game, I mean, hell, play Jackson State. Keep the money in the state, whatever.
Yeah.
I could name a gazillion schools.
Frankly, it's any damn body other than maybe Southern Miss.
Yeah, I'm not playing them because I have nothing to gain.
No.
At all. Nothing. And I'm not playing Memphis ever because they can't help me.
No.
No, I'm better off playing Texas State or
Tulane.
Yeah. Well, Tulane's a good one for Ole Miss. Yeah. You can do a home-and-home with Tulane. And they come to Oxford. Nobody hates Tulane. It's fine, and they're good enough. And you get a trip to New Orleans. And if your team loses to Tulane, realistically, as an SEC, you have a problem.
Yeah, it's your fault.
Yeah. But you play Memphis? You're going to inherit that environment? They get sky-high for any SEC team that comes in there. All of a sudden, a bunch of people show up. A week from now, nobody will be there. It's not a fun place to send your fans. It's a crappy stadium in a crappy part of town in a city that everybody already knows. Nobody goes, hey, Destination Memphis. Nobody does that. No offense, Memphis, but nobody does.
Yeah, sure.
If you're going to play it, play UAB. Schedule Troy. Schedule South Alabama. I don't know. Schedule somebody. But don't play them. Why bail them out?
Yeah.
I'll never get it. And yet every Ole Miss AD in the history of time schedules Memphis. I wouldn't even take their call. And if someone goes, well, they won't play you in baseball anymore. Okay, well, oh, God. Whoa. That changes everything.
Well, and that's been a little tenuous because they keep wanting to go to a home and home, and Mike basically told them, hey, I'm only playing you if you'll play at AutoZone. I'm not going to your camp. I'm not playing an on-campus game.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would – when they go, we want you to come to our campus. No. Well, I want to win every lottery. I mean, what difference does it make what you want? You're in the SEC. You don't owe that little tiddlywinks program a damn thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason that the Big 12's like, we'll take everyone out of the American except Memphis. We don't want Memphis. What about Cincinnati? Yeah, that's fine. UCF? Yeah, sure. Memphis, hell no.
Yeah.
And you can sit up there as a radio columnist and, yeah, I'm talking about you, Jeff, bless your heart, and go, it's racist. No, it's not. You have nothing to offer. You bring nothing to the table. So there's no reason for Ole Miss to play them. And it's on Mississippi State for scheduling the dumb game.
They deserve to lose.
There's a list of games that Mississippi State should have played. And frankly, if you're Mississippi State, the only way you're ever going to be relevant is to run the table in the SEC. That doesn't happen very often. You want to go to a bowl game at Mississippi State. That's always been a line of pride for them, and I don't blame them. Schedule 4 cupcakes.
Yes. Find 4 wins and move on with your day.
Find a way to win 2 SEC games. Start the season every season 4-0. You win 2 games. At least you're going 6-6, which gets you to a bowl in the SEC. And that's fine. And from a financial standpoint, why you're going to take a game out of Starkville to move it to Memphis? How does that benefit anybody in Starkville?
When you're already struck, you know, sometimes you're going to have to go on the road for some of those Power 5 matchup things. You know what I mean? Like, you're already going to have some road games in some years.
And someone goes, well, Memphis might go to Mississippi State to play basketball. Okay, that's not moving the needle there in December either.
Yeah, not at all emotional about it. Calkins, after the game, his column has the headline, savor the win, Memphians, and also SEC tears.
So. Nobody in the SEC is crying over Mississippi State losing the game.
Got nothing.
I mean, I don't understand this emotion from him. I really don't. I don't get it. What is this about? I mean, I understand that in that city, for whatever reason, there is this pressure to be an absolute homer. But it's not justified.
No.
And the guy at Memphis has done a good job. This isn't about Memphis's program. It's Memphis has nothing to offer. Why do you, as an SEC, if you're Ole Miss or Mississippi State or Tennessee. Or Arkansas – I mean, if you told Alabama, hey, you guys want to go to Memphis? They'd be like, are you out of your effing mind? Well, they're just as close.
Yeah.
But everybody's done it because, well, it's just kind of what we've always done.
Yeah.
Which is like the worst reason to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I promise you, there are people on the Ole Miss beat today calling the SID going, how come there's no press conference today? There's always been a press conference on Monday. Why would you do one today? He just talked Saturday or Sunday morning at 1 in the morning. What's he going to say today is any different?
Nothing.
Nothing. So you're doing it just to do it, which is not a good reason to do it.
So we'll stop talking about Memphis now for probably the rest of the month because there's no reason to. In the meantime, we'll tell you about Northeast Spark, NESPARC, service people across rural communities. 2 packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps, which is a lot of speed, but not like the gig. Powers the Clark Ford Studio, that's called the Blaze. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband, NESpark.com, 662-238-3159. Phone service available, parental controls, network security, wireless mesh extender, and more. So call the office for details. The best internet around, 662-238-3159.
We're also brought to you by the College Corner. It's your one-stop Rebel Shop. Two locations in the Jackson area. In Ridgeland, the College Corner is next to Fleet Feet. In Flowood, it's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's no problem. You can go to the College Corner at collegecornerstore.com. Plus, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. We're also brought to you by Pinnacle. They're based in Madison, Mississippi. They've got clients in more than 20 states, advisors in multiple states. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. It's mypinwealth.com. We're also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. All you got to do is get in touch with John, give him some parameters, give him a budget, let him know kind of what you're thinking about doing, and then sit back and let him give you options to create a trip that will create a lifetime of unique memories. It's 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. And we're brought to you by Whitney McNutt, Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtor, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. She sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. And we're brought to you by Service Specialist with offices in Ridgeland, Canton, Jackson, and Oxford. Service Specialist has you Service Specialist has been connecting candidates and employers since 1967, as the oldest staffing company in Mississippi. Whether you're a new college grad or a seasoned professional, whether you're in engineering, dentistry, accounting, law, manufacturing, human resources, or more, get in touch with Service Specialist. If you're a recent grad without much experience, that's who you should call. They're always looking for candidates that have potential and want to learn and get their foot in the door with growth opportunities. They always know about jobs that never get advertised. 662-832-5138 or servicespecialistltd.com. And we're brought to you by Alpha Specialties, 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. They're your trailer-specific professional. They've got Load Trail, Hallmark Cargo Trailers. They can work with third parties to have game day trailers and concession trailers built. They have spare tires and wheels, full selection of trailer parts and accessories, and they have a full-service trailer repair shop. 601-932-9798 or alphaofms.com. I'll be talking to Chance Campbell later today. That conversation's brought to you by The Rogue. It's your destination for fine men's clothing. Their stylist hand-select pieces from top designers, from work to lifestyle to nightlife. It's the perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, and more. It's 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or therogue.com. And last but not least, brought to you by Joey Erickson, Heron Gear Chevrolet. Let Joey help you find the vehicle you're looking for at a price you can afford. Just choose from a full selection of new Chevy vehicles or get a great deal on numerous brands of reliable pre-owned vehicles. You can call him or text him at 662-571-2367, or you can go see him in person, 1685 High Street in Jackson.
Podcast is brought to you by G&M Pharmacy. They're on South Lamar in Oxford. Also, Tyson Drugs on the Square in Holly Springs. They deliver locally in the Oxford area, and they take care of you with medicine. Food prescriptions the same day each month. Whether it be one trip to the pharmacy or one delivery, you get what you need when you need it. So find out different ways that G&M and Tyson Drugs can take care of you. That's 662-236-2222. There is no Memphis on any of Ole Miss's future schedules. They've already got all their non-conference opponents set through 2026. Also have them set in 2028 as well. Now, could any of this change because of number of SEC games? Of course, we don't know what schedules are for sure going to look like. It's very likely there are more than eight SEC games in a season here soon when Texas and Oklahoma join the league. But as of right now, next year, Troy, Central Arkansas at Georgia Tech, Tulsa, 23, Mercer at Tulane, Georgia Tech, ULM. 24, Furman, Middle Tennessee at Wake, Georgia Southern. And then starting in 2025, kind of a weird scheduling quirk, 2025 through 2030, not all on the road, but Ole Miss plays a team west of Texas every year between 2025 and 2030. They have a home-and-home with USC, a home-and-home with Oregon State, and they play BYU.
Smart.
So all those there. In 2025, they have two Power 5 non-cons. They go to the Coliseum, and they have Wake Forest coming to Oxford. So they play SC to open the year out there. And then 2 weeks later, they play Wake Forest at home.
Did you see where Feinbaum says Kiffin's a candidate at SC?
Did he?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He has something to talk about now for an hour and a half today.
Yeah.
It's crazy how that works. I do love how the radio show goes, hey, I'm going to write this and I'm going to talk about it. And that's what I'm doing today.
That works.
I need a headline, so say something. Okay. Hey, source, colon.
Yeah.
He's a candidate. Done. Show finished. Here we go. And phone lines are open. 1-800.
Paul knows
talk
enough people.
SEC.
That he can get someone to tell him that.
Oh, sure.
You know, because I got a source.
Hey, Mike. Kiffin, any shot there? Well, I mean, I guess if everybody else died and he was like, okay, well, he's a candidate. Kiffin, go.
Jimmy, will you tell me that Lane has no chance whatsoever at the USC job? I will not. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. they go to Charlotte in 2026. They have SC back at home, but go to Charlotte in 26.
To play at the Panther Stadium.
I don't know where that game is, but I would assume, but they play the 49ers. Back at home in 2027, they go to UConn, and they play Oregon State. So Charlotte, UConn, and Oregon State. South Alabama comes back on the schedule. They have Alcorn on the schedule coming up.
Sure.
So there's been... And then way down the line, we'll see what even any landscape looks like at this point. But they have a home-and-home set up with Virginia Tech in 32 and 37, in Purdue in 33 and 34.
Okay. So exciting.
There is your...
You think you're still covering Ole Miss in 37?
Who knows? Who knows if websites even exist in 2037?
Are you saying the internet might be gone by 2037?
Who knows? Look, I mean, who knows what's automated or not? They probably just have people writing columns using like our AI or something at that point. But you can go to Atlanta next year, 2022. The Rebels.
Your hologram could do the show.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Was it the AP? Does it for minor league baseball? They have like an algorithm that does recaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A tad startling.
Well, I used to go cover minor league baseball games, and I would sit in the press box and always wonder, so this is 4 hours of my life. Is there three people who read this? Are there three people in the entire Mobile metropolitan area who in the morning will get up and read about the Bay Bears and the Huntsville Stars?
I'm sure.
And I would think to myself, there is no one reading this.
Yes, Luke. There is a road trip to UConn in 2027. The three non-cons set up for 2027 currently are Charlotte at home, at UConn, and Oregon State.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So they play UConn, and they play Oregon State. UConn might have a football program by then. Or, I mean, like, it might exist then. I don't know.
It's certainly possible that it does not.
They might be D1. They might not. I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff up in the air there with UConn because, yeah, they are gone.
I would not make my hotel reservation just yet.
Well, that game was already supposed to happen. That was the one that got moved last year, right?
It was a pandemic loss, right?
Yeah, there was something because they didn't play or whatever it was. Yeah, that was the one here was supposed to have already happened, I think is what it was. I don't think it was a road trip. Now that is in 2028 when they have South Alcorn, BYU on the road, and UConn.
I'd like to go to a game in Provo. I'm told that setting is gorgeous.
State went there a few years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah. State had a home-and-home with BYU.
Beat writers go find the nearest Chili's.
I think the restaurant scene in Provo is...
I don't know. How far is Provo from Salt Lake City? Is there a Chili's in Provo?
You think Chili's is like the... You think that's the restaurant of choice?
No, probably not. They probably
45
want...
minutes.
I'm guessing they like a buffet.
Oh, you think it's like a Golden Corral Ryan's kind of situation?
I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. Chase is like,
it's the constant thing in Hoover every time when I'm like, we're sitting, like, everybody's just kind of hanging around, like, hey, where are you going? And I forget the name of it, so pardon me if you're in the greater Birmingham area, but every single year they're like, yeah, we're going over to Catfish Kitchen or like whatever it is. And it's like every time, and I'm like,
yeah, because Birmingham has like a really cool restaurant scene.
It is so hard. It is so hard to get media members while we're in Hoover to leave Hoover.
Yeah.
To go eat. It's like Birmingham's right there.
And I never even stay in Hoover.
It's right there.
I go to media days and I never stay in Hoover.
I mean, over the course of the week,
I drive to Hoover.
I got no problems. If I want to go to Jay Alexander's once, okay, cool. It's cool. But I mean, it's a running joke on the show, but you would be amazed at the sports media people in Hoover who seriously go to Bonefish and go, I'm having tuna tonight. And it's like,
that fish
did not come out of the Gulf this
Let
morning.
Let me just tell you, the Gulf of Tonkin last Tuesday.
You'll be sitting in the press box. You'll hear it behind you. It'd be like the two dudes from wherever in the Knoxville or whatever going, hey guys, so we've looked at the menus. We're doing Bonefish. We're doing Jay Alexander's tonight.
Jay Alexander's, yeah.
It's like, and there's nothing wrong with Jay Alexander's.
No, it's fine.
Just don't make it the highlight of your week. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. I'm being an asshole, but it's just.
Oh gosh. They're not going to be your friend anymore. They usually make fun of me when they team up.
Yeah.
Now they'll go after you. You're making fun
of them. I don't know that I'm friend. I like Robbie all right. I actually do personally. I don't know that I even know any of the other ones to any extent beyond the internets anymore. Yeah. I mean, that's about it. Steve and I don't exchange Christmas cards.
Oh, that's why I cheer for the whole Hugh Freeze to Mississippi State thing.
For that dynamic?
I want that so bad to happen.
Them have to.
Well, just for us, the dynamic would be so entertaining on so many different levels that it's too good to be true. When people say, well, do you think that'll happen? I'm like, no, it just...
Because it's too good.
It's too perfect.
Can't have that nice of things.
No, I mean, if you believe in that, you believe in unicorns and... pots of gold at the end of the rainbow. It would be that perfect.
Okay, we have some Titans fans. We'll talk a lot of NFL tomorrow, but just kind of closing up. Huge win for the Titans yesterday. They were dead in the water in Seattle. They come back. They win 33-30 over the Seahawks yesterday.
I know. So that game was 30-16, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go run now.
Yeah.
And I came in from my run, and Carson goes, Dad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? He goes, it's 30-29. They're trying to see if Henry scored.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, are you serious? Because, yeah. I mean, the Titans had no pulse.
We almost had a walk-off safety. I was pulling for it because I don't think it's ever happened in NFL history yesterday.
I think they actually got the call right, but it was so close.
Yeah. Well, because if any of it's out, it's out. Like, I mean, right. that's kind of the way that works. Tonight, your game is a pretty much dud. It's Lions, Packers. However, you get Eli Payton tonight.
I'm watching.
If you'd like to be in for that. So
here's the example of how good the Eli Payton thing is. Last night, Ravens Chiefs was a great game.
Mm-hmm.
I was just too tired to watch it. And that Sunday night crew is not very good anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I flipped. Tonight, this is a dud game, and I'll watch for a while.
Yeah. It'll at least have my attention. I'll turn it on, see what's what, and go from there. So, all right, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk more NFL. We'll look and kind of see where Ole Miss is from a ranking standpoint. I have a hunch that most people had them right there, 12-14. But we'll see if there's any outliers. We'll look at some different things there as well. Ole Miss on an open week, but plenty of SEC action, and then already starting the discussion for Ole Miss and Alabama here in 12 days in Tuscaloosa. So, hope you have a wonderful day. Check rebelgrove.com in the meantime, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.